Thanks for listening to the Journey Christian Church podcast. We're on a mission to make disciples who love God, love people, and serve the world. Our prayer is that this message encourages you today. And remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome, nobody's perfect, and through Jesus, anything is possible.
Now, we've been in this series. If you missed it, I'm going to quickly catch you up. We've been in the series called Defining Moments. And what we've been looking at in week one, we had baby dedication, and we talked about how the rocking chair, Pastor John spoke in a rocking chair. We talked about how those are defining moments in those years. Then last week, we got to celebrate all the moms, and we had for Mother's Day, and we had Mother's Day moments. And today, what we're going to talk about when it comes to defining moments is baptism moments. And for me, I'm excited about this. Some of you have been baptized, some of you haven't. Some of you know what baptism is, some of you don't. Some of you have been baptized and you don't even know what it is. And so this is gonna be a bonus for all of us today. And I'm looking forward to that as well. So for me, a little bit on my story, a little bit of background on me. I was raised in the church. And so I grew up reading the Bible. I grew up praying. I grew up knowing and really loving Jesus. And the way I would describe it is, more like I liked Jesus, but compared to how much I liked me, it was Jesus and it was me. I don't know if anybody can relate. And so like I thought I was a Christian, but when you look at Christianity, we're not called to like Jesus, we're called to surrender to him. And when I started growing and this understanding is I liked Jesus and I loved me. And I never said this, and I don't think anybody really does, but if you were to look at my life when I was a early teenager, I literally worshiped me. It's not that far-fetched, right? You know? And what I mean by that, nobody says that, but what I mean by that is when it came to make decisions, I knew what God wanted and I knew what Dustin wanted, and Dustin always won. That meant I worshiped me. Because when it comes to Christianity, my feelings should no longer matter because he's Lord and Savior. And if he is, then his will trumps mine. Amen. Well, don't amen that because I didn't know that. I was still teaching Jesus a couple things when I was a teenager. So I'm just kidding. You could always amen. So when I was a teenager, I didn't realize that. I thought you could like Jesus and still do whatever you wanted. And it was until I was about 16 years old that the Holy Spirit got a hold of my life. And I don't know if you've ever had an encounter with the Holy Spirit where he convicts you. And it's kind of in this process where it's good because anytime God speaks to you, it's good. And then it's bad because he's slapping you, you know? He's like, listen, knucklehead, what are you doing? And I remember at the age of 16, God got a hold of me. And I literally fell to my knees when I realized that I've been worshiping me and my will more than him. And I threw my hands up and I said, whatever you want, you have it. Wherever you want me to go, I'll do it. And I surrendered my life to Jesus. And it was at that point that I began to get discipled, that somebody began to teach me about the Bible and about what it meant to follow Jesus. And it didn't take long in my journey of discipleship to realize all throughout the New Testament, baptism is a key thing. And for me, I never got baptized. I was 16, I liked Jesus, but I loved me, so I didn't get baptized. And as I began to dive into scripture, it became clear that baptism was a next step in my new journey for me. For me, I grew up at First Baptist Church of Orlando, big church on L.B. McLeod, massive auditorium. And so the idea of getting baptized in an auditorium of 4,000 people and this clear glass, a lot of people when they get baptized have fears or insecurities, and that's why it takes faith anytime God calls you to do something. And some people have theological struggles, like I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, or does God love me? For me, I didn't have theological struggles or insecurities to get baptized. I had practical ones. Here, if you don't judge me, I'll share my insecurity with you. My insecurity was in front of everybody in this giant screen that I was gonna go in and I had so much anxiety that I was just going to use the bathroom. That was my fear. It's not funny, it's true. So here I'm in my anxiety and here I remember having that real anxiety, but knowing that my anxiety didn't matter because God's word already trumped what I need to do. And so I did it. Let me rephrase that. I got baptized, I didn't go to the bathroom. I got baptized. Didn't mean to say that like that. So I got baptized, and I remember going into baptismal being full of anxiety and coming out with so much joy. And there was a line in the sand drawn that day in my life. It was a defining moment in my life. It was a defining moment that said, there's no going back, because my faith was private and now it's public. And you see, following Jesus is personal, but it's never private. We're always called to go public with our faith. Some of us think that it's a private faith. It's not private. It might be personal, but it's not private. And it was at that moment, this line drawing moment, that I came out and I immediately felt embraced into the church body. I immediately felt connected to something that was very difficult to describe. And how can I remember all these moments, all these days later? Because it was a defining moment in my life. And it's even hard to describe. As a matter of fact, Max Lucado says this. He says, the human mind explaining baptism is like a harmonica interpreting Beethoven. The music is too majestic for the instrument. No scholar or saint can fully appreciate what this moment means in heaven. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about three reasons why we should take baptism seriously. Three reasons why we're going to take baptism seriously. If you're a note taker, you're going to like this. It'd be easy to take notes. The first one is this. Jesus got baptized. Number one reason we should take baptism seriously. Jesus got baptized. If he takes it serious, then I need to take it serious. In Matthew 3, 13 through 17, this is what it says as it records his defining moment. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. You see, Jesus led the way. One of the subplots to Jesus coming down wasn't just to rescue mankind. I think one of the subplots of Jesus coming down was to model what it looked like to listen and follow the Father here on earth. And that's what he demonstrated through his baptism. Paul echoes this in Ephesians 5. He says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. You see, we have an example we need to follow, and that's our role as Christians, is to follow the lead. And so when we're talking about this idea of three reasons to take baptism serious, the first one is Jesus got baptized. The second one is this, Jesus calls us to get baptized. The very last words in Matthew, it's called the Great Commission. Great, great, great line that Jesus gives, the very last words before he's ascended into heaven. This is what it says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, God's calling us, Jesus is calling us, and he's saying, hey, listen, go and make disciples. And in that process, there's an expectation. You baptize them, you teach them. Baptism is just part of the faith journey. Luke goes on to echo the sentiments in Acts 2:38. It says, change your hearts and lives and be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Now, when I was growing up in high school, I played baseball. And I've asked y'all this question multiple times. I said, hey, how many of y'all play baseball? And two people raised their hand, and it's kind of embarrassing. So I'm not gonna ask you. But to the two people that play baseball, God knows, he sees you, he loves you, okay? So I grew up playing baseball. And I played a friend of mine, and that year we happened to be pretty good, and his team happened to not so much be good. And they were playing, it was a travel team, and they played here locally. He was from another city here in the state of Florida. And so we decided to go out to dinner afterwards. And this is a true story, it's a little bizarre. So we go out to dinner immediately after the game. And our team happened to take them pretty good. And we go out to dinner right after the game, and I'm still in my uniform. And he shows up in his street clothes. And I'm like, My man, we just came from the game. How did you even have time? He like did a Superman. He quickly changed and all of a sudden he's here, he's different. I said, how did you have time and why did you even change? Like, why did you change? We just came from a game. Why'd you put on street clothes? And he was very serious and he kind of leans in. He doesn't want a lot of people to hear. He says, hey, listen. He says, when you put on your uniform, you're proud. Your team's good. When I put on my uniform, I'm embarrassed. Our team's not that good. I didn't agree with him, but I understood what he meant. And I think we could do this in the church. I think we want to play for the team, but not wear the uniform. I think what we want to do is we want to get on the field, but we're too embarrassed to put on the uniform that God gives us. And so we hurry up and change into our street clothes. And I think that Christianity looks a little less like changing uniforms, and it looks a lot more like National Signing Day. Now, you may not be aware of National Signing Day, but National Signing Day is when these high school athletes, now National Signing Day is when high school athletes make a decision where they're going to play in college. And before COVID, there was 48,000 people that made this decision every year. This was the biggest defining moment in a high school athlete's life up to that point. I mean, it was a huge deal. They would pray about it. They would think about it. They would try out all this stuff. They would narrow it down to a couple teams and it would look like this. They would be behind a table with their family, their loved ones. They would have multiple hats that they would kind of say, hey, I'm gonna pick this one, what do you think I'm gonna do? And then they'd announce to the world which team they're gonna play for the next 4 years. National Signing Day was a moment where they were telling the world where they were gonna spend their future time, energy, and resources, and it was a day they celebrated. Just by show of hands, or maybe not show of hands, you could be vocal in church. We have three hats here. None of them are the University of Kentucky, okay? Can I get an amen? You get away with a lot when your pastor's in Lake County, you know what I'm saying? So we got University of Florida, anybody? Yeah. We got University of Central Florida, UCF Knights. I'm not sure of this next one. It might make, I don't know, Liberty University. Okay. Y'all are gonna be so disappointed. I chose Liberty University. Now let me clarify, because this kind of is a little confusing. These were not options given to me, okay? I did play baseball in college, but these people never called me. I waited by the phone, never got the call. I went and played baseball at Liberty University, and the way I describe it is I got into a disagreement with the coach. I thought I was good, he did not, so I transferred out. If only coach could see it my way. So that's kind of what National Sign Day, if you want a little bit of an idea what that looks like, check this out.
Hello, Deontay. Awesome setup down there, by the way. Where are you?
Thank you. I'm at Fort Meade, Florida, in the locker room.
Hey, whoever set that up did a wonderful job. I'm looking at the hats in front of you for your choices. Central Florida, Georgia Tech, Mississippi State, Nebraska, Penn State, or South Carolina. Who's it going to be?
It's going to be Mississippi State University.
National Signing Day is a big day. It's a moment where your family and friends, they cheer you on. They're excited. And you see, just like National Signing Day is a day where you come out and you let the world know where you're going to plan on spending your time, energy, and resources in the next 4 years. Baptism is a day where you come out and you let the world know where you're planning on spending your time, your energy, and your resources. And it's a day we're celebrating. It's a day that we get excited about. It's a day that we come out and let the world know, hey, listen, I made a decision. This is my decision, and I'm excited. I'm not a little nervous about it. I'm not like my buddy that wanted to change streak. I'm excited to announce to the world which team I'm playing for. Some of you don't think that your baptism decision was or is or will be a big decision. And let me help you understand this. If it wasn't that big of a deal, Jesus never would have done it and he never would have had the cross. It's a big deal. And I don't think you minimize it out of a bad heart. I think you just minimize it because you don't think it's a big deal. But let me explain to you or share with you Luke 15:7. It says this, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." You see, if all heaven's gonna throw a party, then let's go ahead and party. When it comes to parties, I don't think National Signing Day should have a leg up over the church. I think we have a lot more to celebrate than they do. And so what we just saw a minute ago was what a student athlete, how kind of what they get excited about. But I'm gonna flip the script a little bit. I want you to watch how a coach reacts on National Signing Day. Check this out.
As we welcome in Jordan Cunningham, and again, Florida State, Miami, Vanderbilt, Stanford. Jordan, the stage is yours, young man. Tell us where you will play your college football.
I'm currently working on a 50-year career plan that begins with me as a Division I wide receiver and will continue as a professional engineer and entrepreneur. With that being said, I will now choose the college that will provide the best of both worlds, academically and athletically. The Vanderbilt University.
That's a small glimpse of what heaven does. It's a small glimpse. And I know when Pastor John sees this, he's gonna say, "Listen, really, no Kentucky in anything?" And I just need to be honest, because he's gonna watch this. Pastor John, I searched for hours on YouTube. Hours. For somebody that was excited about committing to UK. I couldn't find it. So I am sorry. That's just between us. Listen, look at the way those coaches reacted. That's over a ball, over a game. I'm telling you, whatever you think is happening in heaven, it's bigger and more massive than you could ever imagine. There is a party going on, and it's got you all in the middle of it. They are celebrating more than you know. This is what Max Lucado went on to say. I love this. He said, "Baptism is the initial step of a faithful heart." Isn't that good? James Augie says, "God brings men into deep waters not to drown them, but to cleanse them." You see, I think some of us have, I know a lot of us have, because I've talked to some, almost all of us have some type of fear when it comes to baptism. And not just baptism, any step of faith towards Jesus, there is fear and anxiety. You know why I know that? Because that's why it requires faith. If you didn't have fear and anxiety, you wouldn't need faith. It would be easy. But because every step towards Jesus requires faith, that means there's some type of insecurity or fear that we got to overcome. And that's why we have faith. We don't overthink it, we just trust. And so this idea that James Augie said, God brings men into deep waters not to drown them, but to cleanse them, you just need to know that God has good for you in every step and following him. And so this idea of maybe what it looked like for me as a 16-year-old, or maybe for you, going into baptism a little bit nervous, maybe it should look less like that, and maybe it should look a little bit more like this. I need to clarify, that's just for humor. Do not do that. I'm not sure what Pastor Randy or Harvey would do to us. You can just see the excitement. He wasn't overthinking. He just said, "Listen, I'm all in." Was his technique in the cannonball accurate? I don't know. Was his theology accurate? Probably not. But his heart was there. And thank goodness Jesus looks at the heart. He doesn't look at the accuracy of the cannonball, or he looks at the heart. And the boy was ready to dive all in. So three reasons that we should take baptism seriously. The first one is Jesus got baptized. The second one is Jesus calls us to get baptized. And the third reason is this right here. Whoop, that's a good verse. Do we really need a third reason? I mean, seriously, do we need a third reason? Like, I'm putting this up here just kind of like half joking, half serious, because I think when we follow Jesus, we're like, okay, Jesus did that. He tells us to do that. Give me a couple more reasons why I should do that. And it's like, do we really need more reasons to do what the Lord and Savior has already told us to do? Maybe if we're asking for more, maybe you are a little bit more like me when I was 16. And maybe you base your decisions on how you feel more than what he says. You see, we don't need anything more from the general. When we call him Lord, what we're saying is whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want it. That's what Lord means. And so what he's saying is get baptized. And our response is, yes, sir. That's it. Conversation's over, not in a rude way, but he's not debating or talking you through this. He did it, and then he calls us to do it. Matthew 3:15 in this text, when Jesus was doing it, this is what he said when he was getting baptized. He says, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. Listen to the language that he's using. There are no personal feelings in this at all. Does Jesus want to get baptized? We don't know. It doesn't matter. What he is focused on is the Father wants something and he's going to get it. That's what he's focused on. What does the Father want? That's all I need to figure out. And then after I figure that out, then I'm going to do it. So the struggle every day shouldn't be doing anything. It should be wrestling with what does the Father want. You see, I don't know about you, but aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't ruled by his feelings? Because in Matthew 26:39, Jesus said, my Father, if it is possible, may you take this cup from me. This is right before he's about to be crucified. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. You see, I think there's this tension in our culture, in society today, where we should make our decisions based on our feelings. And I'm just telling you, God's calling will always trump your feelings. And if you make your decisions based on how you feel, it's not gonna go good. Like, I eat Taco Bell sometimes, and how I feel after Taco Bell, that's not a good way to live. I'm just telling you. Here's another way of saying it. Your flesh does not want you to leave your comfort zone as much as your faith demands of you. Let me say that again. Your flesh does not want you to leave your comfort zone as much as your faith demands of you. There is a flesh and a comfort zone that just wants to be fat and lazy, but your calling demands that you step out of that. That it's not always easy street. It's not always recliner. It's not always lazy boy. And getting out of that every time will require faith. And every time it demands more of you, which is why you need more Jesus. Because he can be that strength where we are weak. He shores that up in our deficiency. Watchman Nee says, baptism is faith and action. I like that. I don't have to know it all. I don't have to understand it all. Faith is just, okay, yes, sir, let's go. This year so far in 2021, we've seen 73 people step out in faith and get baptized. 73 people, which is absolutely incredible. Isn't that awesome? So good. 73 people. Just last week, we saw Pastor Harvey baptize Jennifer. Really, really cool story here at Apopka. And then, yeah, you can celebrate that. And then on Monday, we had Pastor Harvey and a couple other people on our team baptize Tony. And this is Tony and Caleb Conley and Josh Tiaga baptize her. What's becoming an interesting trend is we're seeing more and more people get baptized Monday through Friday, almost than even on the weekend sometimes, because there's different things that are taking place. And so we've seen that's just this couple weeks. And then Pastor John has mentioned that there's a really cool story that we want to unveil and share with you. So in I believe it was in February when we did Daily Acts, we had somebody from our online campus, shout out to our online campus, and they were online and they were watching, and we talked about baptism. This person said, hey, I want to get baptized. And so Pastor Harvey began to reach out, and they journeys their church home, and they don't live in Central Florida. And when they come on vacation, they come here and they consider this their church home. And when they go back home, they watch online and they watch consistently. There's just as much of the church as anybody else. They do everything leaning in as we would. And so it got time to get baptized. And so they reached out and Pastor Harvey contacted, said, well, hey, let's maybe connect you with a local church and see if they could baptize you. And not in a rude way, but she said, you know, that's nice and all, but really Journey's my church. Journey's my pastor's. And so Pastor Harvey said, okay, so when are you coming on vacation next? Or when are you coming back down? And it wasn't until late in the fall. And we believe, you know, if we can do it sooner than later, let's go ahead and figure this out. And so we talked it over as a team and we said, you know what? We can't do this for everybody all the time, but we felt led by the Spirit to do this. And so she happens to live in New York City, in the New York City area. So we flew the team up to meet Carol Chung. And this is Carol Chung's story. Check this out.
Hi, Journey. My name is Carol, and I'm here in New York City. And I'm so happy to be here with everybody. And I'm happy to be here with Pastor Harvey and the team. So my own personal journey to Christ started about 30 years ago, I would say. And that is when my brother gave his life to Christ. And he introduced it to me and my family. And at the time, it was all really nice words. What he said made a lot of sense. So intellectually, I absorbed it, but it never really hit my heart. Over the years, as he would pray for the family, pray over the family, I would listen, I would be inspired, but again, it hadn't quite hit my heart. And so fast forward a whole bunch of years, I found myself being pulled to the Word of God and to the message in different churches that I had attended. And anytime that there was a call to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I felt the pull and literally felt that I would be sitting on the edge of the seat, wanting to go, but holding back for a long time. And I was afraid. I was afraid to make the move. I was afraid that I would have to give up things if I were to give my life to Christ. It was 2012, and through a series of circumstances, and we know now God orchestrates everything, it was probably what I would call my rock bottom. And one day I prayed and I literally felt the Holy Spirit lift the burden from me. And I had been praying that the burden would be lifted. And I literally felt the Holy Spirit take over and take the burden from me. And I had never felt freer and more unencumbered. And all the circumstances in my life, as bad as I thought they were at the time, were sort of meaningless. And I realized that there was a new life in Christ, and that would transcend anything that was bad that might have been happening in my life at the time. And so it's now been several years since then. So it's been quite a journey. So when COVID hit and the churches were closed down and I was looking for a forum, I reached out and I looked for Journey online. And I started really at the start of COVID. And I've been a faithful watcher and follower pretty much every week since then. And it has been really the source of inspiration and encouragement for me, especially during a very dark time for a lot of people. Throughout the pandemic, but certainly personally, and you know, anything that I was going through at that time, it was really the nourishment that I needed, and they were there, and you know, continue to be inspired by Journey and the whole Journey family ever since. So, being a member of the online community of Journey, and I've seen the baptisms, certainly, online. And over the years, I've often thought I would like to be baptized. But never happened for a number of reasons. But because I have felt so close and connected to Journey this last year, when I was online and I saw the button that said, I want to be baptized, I clicked on that button. And I didn't know exactly what was going to transpire after that. I thought maybe next time I'm in Apopka, I'll be baptized. And next thing I know, Pastor Harvey gave me a call, and one thing led to the next. And miraculously, and only through the work of God, we're all here in New York City. Hi, my name is Carol, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Carol, thank you for clicking that button. Thank you for, you didn't know what was gonna transpire, as you just said, but you don't know it, but you're inspiring so many people. So thank you for your step of faith. What a cool story. That's Carol's story. That happened a couple weeks ago, that happened in New York City. What's your story? What's God calling you to do? In the past 30 days, we've baptized people with different handicap limitations. We baptized people with ankle monitors, and we baptized people in New York City. We will do whatever it takes if you're willing to take a step of faith. We'll meet you wherever you're at, however that looks. We'd love to have that conversation. If you've never been baptized and you feel like God's calling you to take a next step, to begin a relationship with him, whatever or wherever you're at. Maybe today is your national signing day. Maybe today all of heaven rejoices because of what you want to do. With that said, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father God, we thank you. Thank you, God, for loving us. In the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our sin, our struggles, our when we trip over our own feet, when we don't know how exactly to follow you or what to do or how to do it, you still give us the grace. You still give us the cross. And God, I know right now there's people overthinking all the reasons they shouldn't get baptized, but there's just one reason why they should. It's because you're calling them to. And so God, would you give every person today the courage to live out their faith, that their faith would be stronger than their feelings today. Holy Spirit, have your way today. Holy Spirit, fill this place. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If you like this podcast, we post a new message every week. So make sure to click that follow button and share it with your friends. Remember, Journey is a place where everybody's welcome. Nobody's perfect. And through Jesus, anything is possible.